With less than 4 weeks to go now before Election Day, a look at the Massachusetts governor's race. The incumbent Democrat, Governor Deval Patrick, is about to get some high-profile help. A campaign advisor says President Obama is planning to visit Massachusetts in mid-October on Patrick's behalf. Meanwhile, less than a week after his running mate ditched him and endorsed an opponent, independent gubernatorial candidate Timothy Cahill is working on a major TV ad blitz. Cahill's running mate, Paul Lascoco, said last week that Cahill couldn't win and endorsed Republican Charles Baker. Cahill derided all this as a backroom deal and says he'll press ahead. He'll reportedly spend about half of his $2 million campaign war chest on TV ads, expected to start this week. We asked our political analyst, Democrat Dan Payne and Republican Todd Domke, if considering that Cahill's own campaign calls the ads aggressively contrasting, if they think that means the ads will be negative. Dan Payne first.
Yes, negative commercials are frequently billed as comparative or contrasts, but I have a simple measuring stick to apply to an advertisement. If it mentions the opponent, then it's negative. It's odd that Cahill's manager would predict that it's going to be negative, because I saw Cahill on TV the other night, and he said he didn't know what the commercials would be about. But when he was pressed, Cahill said Baker had raised insurance premiums 150% while he ran Harvard Pilgrim Healthcare. So the ease with which he did that leads me to believe that that'll probably be part of his attack plan. It's possible that Cahill might also attack Deval Patrick, although there doesn't seem to be a lot for him to gain there by leaving the Democratic Party. He made his strong negative statement against Deval Patrick.
Todd.
Well, usually when we say a contrast ad, we mean it is comparative, that it's not exclusively an attack on an opponent. So when he says aggressively contrasting, we do have to interpret that as a euphemism for an attack ad, unless aggressively contrasting just means it will be in black and white.
Todd, the Cahill campaign must in some ways be reeling after the loss of his campaign manager, now the loss of his running mate, all in the last 2 weeks. Will a TV ad blitz work to turn things around, even if he spends $1 million, half his campaign war chest?
Well, a TV blitz is no substitute for losing an ineffective campaign manager and an unknown running mate. Quitting was their best contribution to the Cahill campaign. But whether another flight of TV spots can finally make Cahill seem like a realistic alternative, a credible independent, it's a little late for that. He can do damage to one or both of the other candidates, but being aggressively contrasting in the last month doesn't erase memories of that Cahill failed to offer contrast in debate, in news coverage, and all previous advertising. And it's difficult in the 32nd spot to seem new and improved when people feel they already know you. Tim, the treasurer, has been a career politician, not, as he admitted in a radio interview, a good government guy, a reformer. So he can rip into his opponents and claim they are not great reformers. That would be aggressive, but it would not be a contrast.
Short of getting out of the race, which Cahill has said he would not do, he will not do, what should he do, Dan?
I think where he really needs to invest is in his own campaign story, his own message. He has gone for months without being able to tell us why we should vote for him. And now he's got the opportunity. There is some attention being directed his way, and he has an opportunity to make a case for himself. I doubt that he will do it. Cahill can't win, but he might be able to spoil the chances of Charlie Baker or Deval Patrick.
That's right. Cahill can spend $1 million and get saturation levels of advertising, but it's not repetition that matters as much as persuasion. If you have a newsworthy ad, the media will play for free, and reporting in your campaign, you get more bang for the buck, and so it's more persuasive. The message is more important than the medium or the money. And if Cahill has suddenly discovered a winning message in the final month, well, he could be a factor again. If not, he's about to make a charitable contribution of $2 million to the Boston media.
Let me ask about the buzz about Lascoco's act to pull out of the Cahill campaign and endorse Charlie Baker. There's a lot of buzz around, even among regular people, regular potential voters that I talk to, that maybe this was a backroom deal and maybe it was in the works all the time. Are there two possible political effects here? Could this hurt Charlie Baker if he's perceived as orchestrating this deal, the Republican candidate Charlie Baker, and could it produce a little sympathy for Tim Cahill?
Well, it started to hurt Baker when there was speculation about there being a backroom deal when it came out that they did have arrangements, shall we say, prior to the actual announcement. And Lascoco went from being an unknown and a sure loser to a known villain.
Well, of course there was a deal. Lascoco met with Baker privately, just the two of them, the day before Lascoco pulled the Benedict Arnold. And in politics, a favor doesn't have to be drafted like a contract. It's just understood that if I do this for you, at some point you'll do something for me. The smarter thing for Baker would have been for Lascoco to leave Cahill, wait a few days, and then go over to the Baker camp. But the way they did it makes it very suspicious. And Baker can say Lascoco won't be part of his administration, but there are many ways that a governor can help. A judgeship is one. Getting some bond counsel work is another. He doesn't have to give him a cabinet position.
But Lascoco, if he had just announced he was abandoning him and not given the reason that he didn't want to see Deval Patrick reelected, then it would just have been even more shocking, the disloyalty. It would have been like Gilligan turning on the skipper.
That's what came to my mind.
Yeah. But Cahill is enjoying a surge of sympathy.
But I don't think that's worth very much, Todd.
No, I don't think so. I think if you think about a sympathy vote, I think you have to wonder how many people really feel sorry for a career politician who's abandoned by other career politicians. I don't know. I imagine such a small number that I feel sorry for Cahill.
Well, yeah. And partly because at the end of the day, don't most voters want to feel like they're voting for the winner?
Perhaps. Sometimes they want to send a message, and they may vote from that impulse. But I think sympathy is not much cherished in politics. Voters are not sympathetic toward candidates who lose or look bad. And voters wipe the slate clean. They say, you know, you tried, you failed, too bad, we'll see you later. And that's sort of what's going to happen to Lascoco. He's going to become quickly a non-factor, except that he will have damaged Charlie Baker's ability to say, I'm clean, I'm new, I don't play the old political games.
This is still the year of voter anger, anxiety, fear, not sympathy.
Todd Domke, thank you very much.
Good to be with you, Bob.
Same to you, Dan Payne.
You're welcome, Bob.